we would like to open the floor for questions. Please wait for the microphone to arrive and use the microphone when you ask the question. I'm Tanaka from Nomura Securities. I have two questions. Please address them one by one. First of all, regarding how you view the North American market. So in FY12, how much impact did you experience from the auto renewal in the U.S., and how did it change the number of users in the end? And also, regarding the fourth quarter guidance, on the U.S. dollar basis, it's more or less flat. Consumer versus enterprise, if you look at the breakdown, what is the market environment and what is the business strategy? Will you continue to use the rebate as the previous year, so no change, or how do you see the strategy for this fiscal year? That's my first question. Well, first of all, for FY12, approximately 1 billion is the impact of the auto renewal. Basically, 1 billion was lost, according to our estimate. That's $10 million. So just under 1 billion yen, approximately. And the renewal rate itself is down by 3% compared to the previous figure. So the auto renewal impact is probably 2-3%. Now, as far as the Q1 estimate is concerned, as you mentioned, on the U.S. dollar basis, it's flat in the U.S. market. There is a further increase and decline, and the storefront will continue to suffer, and the application stores will grow stronger, as Omikawa mentioned earlier. So we are mostly selling through the stores. So in Q1 and Q2, we expect to see a negative trend continue. As far as the strategy is concerned, MDF rebate could be reduced. Well, we need to look at the profit as well as the net sales, and we also need to focus on the storefront, but we also need to think about our strategic focus in other areas. Best Buy will continue to be the center of our revenue, so we will continue the revenue rebate program, but we will not invest as much as we used to in the other channels. And additional comment? And just last week, I was in the U.S. As far as U.S. consumer sales is concerned, we are trying to change the focus point, and we have clarified our plan, as Mr. Negi just mentioned. So do not depend on rebate so much. Think about the profitability and also try to build new channels. So these are the things that we have reconfirmed in the U.S. This is not something that can be done overnight, but we want to make sure that we take solid steps so that, like Japan, we can cover multiple channels and make a recovery and have a better formation so that we can cover the channels in the best possible way. Thank you very much. Second question. As far as the operating expenses are concerned, looking at the fourth quarter actual, stock option cost seems to be lower than what we had expected. So is there a special reason behind this? And also looking at the trend in the first quarter, I understand that the labor cost going up because of weaker yen, but the expense ratio has increased quite a lot. So what are the expenses that you expect to increase? In terms of stock options, I don't think there is a major change. Of course, it's lower than our original expectation, but stock option cost calculation is not very accurate for every quarter. So there are some variances every time. People cost, labor cost is the biggest factor. So in Q1, there was an impact of the exchange rate on the labor cost. Do you have anything to add? Well, stock option cost was lower than the original expectation because this year we started using virtual share, which is a new version of an incentive plan for our stock options. This plan is based on the performance of the first half and the second half of the year. During the second half of this year, our performance was lower than expected, so we decided not to issue some of the stock options. That is why the cost was lower than expected. First quarter, 600 million for stock option, and you underwent a major change in the system. I think the numbers will be higher in the third and fourth quarters, but on an annualized basis, I think you're using maybe 3.4 billion or 3.5 billion, but on an annualized basis, it's going to be lower as well? Yes, slightly lower than expected. I see. Thank you very much.
Are there any other questions? My name is Tanaka of Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley, and there are some questions that I'd like to ask about the numbers. In regard to the stock options, in the previous explanation that you made for 2013, up until the first half, you said that the numbers would be high. But now, you said that this can be ignored. Are you telling us to ignore what we said, what we heard previously? No, we're talking about the same thing. This is related to the previous explanation. This year, compared to the last year, there was an overlap of the old system with the new system last year, so that the stock option costs were quite high for fiscal 2012. But for FY 2013, there is still some remaining, but it will decrease, and there is some overlap that remains, but the impact was highest last year, and most likely this year, it'll be difficult to state this clearly, but between 500 million or so decrease will be observed. So the tone that we've been talking about has not changed. Then for the first quarter, there is about 600 million yen, and a rough calculation would indicate that it will continue at that level. No, as already mentioned in the previous question, our stock option costs will not be averaged out at a similar level. Q1 and Q3 will be lower, whereas Q2 and Q4 are going to be higher. So it's going to be quite fluctuating. In Q4, we anticipated this would increase more, but because of the performance, we did not get such high numbers in Q4. So the peak in Q4 was not observed. Meanwhile, for Q1, this is where there's the least fluctuation, and then there's the possibility of further increase in Q2 and in Q4. It depends on the performance. So between Q2 and Q4 and Q1 and Q3, the amounts involved are different. Meanwhile, what about the guidance? What was not achieved? Against what was not achieved? There's an internal forecast and the outside forecast, and there was a gap there. Now, there are fluctuations, but behind that fluctuations, depending on the performance meaning one is the stock prices, but also the amount of incremental increase in the operating income. So that if the expenses increase, then it may mean that the stock prices were up or the operating income were high. And if both factors are not in place, then these numbers would not inflate that much. Then the second question I have is the following: Mr. Minegishi, you explained about the pre-GAAP Europe situation. From Q4 to Q1, you mentioned that the sales cycle was deferred. What was the impact of that? As impact? I think that it would be in the area of 1 million-2 million euro. That's not the only factor. There's the overall tough situation in Europe, but one major factor was what was just mentioned. I see. Third question I have: in the Q1 guidance for the three territories, you've talked about the numbers, but for APAC and Latin America, it may seem that there will be much growth. What are the assumptions there and what's the conditions there? For APAC and Latin America, the size itself is small, so the growth rates may be high. In the case of APAC, there's the impact of the depreciation of the yen, and there will be the yen-denominated net sales that will seem high. But in regard to whether the Q1 numbers can be achieved, will be dependent on the situation of Japan, North America, and Europe. Next, I'd like to ask the question to Mr. Omikawa. In the explanation about the strategic products, you mentioned an increase from 5% to 13%. That doesn't include support. Is it deep security or deep discovery, or does that include the support element as well? This includes support. The reason being, this business has mainly the aspect of support as a new element, so it includes the support numbers. And when it comes to 2012, on a orders received basis, for the actual performance of 2012, what was it, the situation, what percentage increase was observed? Are you talking about Mr. Omikawa's presentation? Those numbers are not prepared. The nuance is that there has been a threefold increase compared to the previous year. And that's on an orders received basis. I think we put out the pre-GAAP numbers, but it was about the net sales in gross basis that was announced by Mr. Omikawa, but we're talking about the pre-GAAP. And there's a rebate and so on that are deducted. So we're talking about the highest numbers before the rebates and so on are deducted. It's on a pre-GAAP basis, it's about 45 billion, 48 billion. And there's several percentage of rebates. And if we add that, then it reaches a level of 50 billion. There is 50.1 billion. And so it would be higher than that number. Yes, it would be higher than the pre-GAAP numbers. And those numbers are not disclosed. Yes, it is not disclosed, because the rebates are what is paid to the channel. And so therefore, if we show the gross numbers, we hardly ever show the numbers in regard to what is paid out to the channel. This may be a confidential matter depending on the company. And so therefore, we will only disclose what is possible. Final question. In regard to the financial performance materials, there is the pre-GAAP numbers and the total costs. And if we look at this, it seems that the margins have been improved considerably. That's in regard to the slide that indicates pre-GAAP versus total costs. What were the factors for this improvement, and what do you anticipate for the future? Does that mean that the profit margin has increased? Since you've seen an improvement, could you give us some explanation? Well, compared to Q3, it looks like it's improved. But Q4 is a large business quarter, so it's a matter of whether it's up or down. It depends on that. And also, if we're asked whether this is a profit ratio, well, profit ratios and net sales are based on the accounting standards. And this is something that we show as a background explanation to investors, but we can't really say which element increased the profit ratio. Now, the bookings increased, but then the expense ratios did not increase that much compared to the previous quarter. So we don't want to mention the word profit ratio here. Then what is these numbers used for? Well, the Greek GAAP basis means the cash on hand. And we're looking at cash costs, and so if you analyze the cash flow, then this is the picture that you get. But The intention for disclosing this is that in regard to our accounting with the cost deferrals and net sales being posted, there's some problems with the timing. And so in order to increasing pre-GAAP on an accounting basis, it is not recognized as net sales, but there is the costs that are reflected. And this is often asked about or criticized by people. And so therefore, we're talking about a pre-GAAP basis and talking about the costs that are incurred there. So this is close to what is reported as PL by conventional Japanese companies. That's the intent. And so in Mr. Tanaka's question, this portion may involve multi-year contracts or overlaps, and it may look like there is an improvement. But the most problematic area is not going to be solved by this, but we felt that by presenting it this way, it would be useful for everyone here. That was the original intention. And of course, this is a question that comes up each time. Why is it that we come up with different formats? And when we look at this on a net sales before and after deferred revenues and the impact of foreign exchange and without the impact of foreign exchange, well, in our case, we're looking at our accounting standards at post-GAAP basis and also on a yen-denominated basis. And those are the financial indicators that we used as the basis. As for why we show the other numbers, we're looking at numbers for 5 quarters, but if we look back at further in the past, then you can see how the changes from pre-GAAP to post-GAAP takes place. We thought that this would make things more easier to understand, so that's why we're disclosing these numbers. But if it's going to confuse people more, then there is our flash report, so that's one of the numbers that we have cited there.
I'm Eguchi from Merrill Lynch. I have 3 questions. In your presentation, you mentioned about this very briefly, sensitivity of sales and profit against exchange rate. 200 to 300 million approximately against dollar and euro. And in terms of profit, it seems that there is a negative impact because of the people's cost. But how do we look at this? Please explain. Well, we don't hedge exchange rate. So if you look at the revenue and the breakdown, you can calculate the impact of an exchange rate, but it's a little bit complicated. Fortunately, our cost is basically balanced among euro, dollar, and yen. So in the end, there's no major impact on the profit caused by exchange rate. So at this moment in time, we don't plan to have any hedging strategy. Another basic principle that we have is that we don't know how the exchange rate will change over time. And if we have a hedge strategy and our investors don't agree, that's no good. So investors can basically do what they like in terms of hedging. We intend to maintain our strategy. Thank you. There was something missing from the slides today. Cloud Securities quarterly sales revenue numbers. You usually show this number. So for Q4 as well as FY12, a full year, what was the actual revenue and projection for 2013? Not just America, you were also focused on Japan as well. So please give us a geographical breakdown as well. Japanese numbers were mentioned by Mr. Omikawa, and it's not that we intentionally excluded those slides. Basically, Eva was not here with us today, so it's missing from today's presentation, but we could show this today, or maybe we can show this another time after the first quarter results. Can you please mention the actual number? Approximately 2 billion yen. Q3 was 1.7 billion, so a positive growth by 300 million. What about the projection of 2013 by geography? We don't have that. We don't announce that information. Of course, we want to maintain the current growth rate. And we're not necessarily very positive about the growth rate as a company, but we expect a two-digit growth for strategic products. Last question about your view on profitability or profit margin. This is from consumer to enterprise. That's what Eva mentioned. Packaging and also strengthening security for different types of enterprises. Mr. Omika, you also talk about strengthening the enterprise business. And the consumer business in America is very tough. So deferred revenue is increasing, but you are spending a lot of cost. So I cannot really see how you could recover to the previous profit margin level. Pre-GAAP level is, of course, improving, but is this the, in terms of operating income or gross profit level, do you actually see yourself going back to the higher level of the past? And when, or do you think it's going to be very difficult? How do you view this? I think it's going to be difficult. Of course, the profit margin improvement is something that we want to make an effort on, but the amount of profit is also important. It's not that we will do everything and anything. Well, application software business never required customization in the past. You just made something and you could sell that everywhere, the same thing everywhere. But recently, things are changing, and we need to provide different types of solutions for different types of customers. So it's not simple like application software, but on the other hand, as Mr. Omikawa mentioned, we also need to provide support, and support will continue to change. Some customers want actually to receive help from us, so we need maybe to have more people, but maybe we can build a more strategic relationship with our customers. So this is an important aspect of business for us. So rather than profitability, we are looking at the amount of profit. Of course, we can achieve both objectives. That would be the best. I would like to add, enterprise security business model, for your business model, what would you say are the current challenges in terms of how it works? Well, Negi-san, you talked about a tough situation about profitability, and you're spending a lot of cost, and you're trying to use the volume discount. If you don't do those things, I don't think you can go back to the previous level. But you want to provide services, so that's going to be very expensive for the company. In that case, the profitability improvement is difficult. So you're talking about improving the amount of profit. And by geography, when do you expect to see this improvement? Well, as I mentioned earlier, profitability or profit margin, how does it compare? Well, it's difficult for us to achieve profit margin as high as what we used to have with application software. 30%, 40%, I don't remember that kind of high number in this business. And once the solution, once the problem is solved, well, we need to basically nurture and grow personnel to a higher skill level. And if we can do that, we can expect a higher operating income. So we focus on the profit rather than margin. And we used to sell to IT managers. Now we're trying to sell to CIOs and talk about their security strategies for their companies. So positioning of our company has changed. For the long-term basis, I would say we're positioned in a better place than before. Thank you. Any